From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 51. Strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. On this account the faces of the Lord's people were covered with shame, for it was a terrible thing that men should intrude into the holy place reserved for the priests alone. Everywhere about us we see like cause for sorrow. How many ungodly men are now educating with the view of entering into the ministry? How fearful it is that ordinances should be pressed upon the unconverted, and that among the more enlightened churches of our land there should be such laxity of discipline. If those who hear this devotional shall all take this matter before the Lord Jesus this day, He will interfere and avert the evil which else will come upon His church. To adulterate the church is to pollute a well, to pour water upon fire, to sow a fertile field with stones. May we all have grace to maintain in our own proper way the purity of the church as being an assembly of believers and not an unsaved community of unconverted men. Our zeal must, however, begin at home. Let us examine ourselves as to our right to eat at the Lord's table. Let us see to it that we have on our wedding garment, lest we ourselves be intruders in the Lord's sanctuaries. Many are called, but few are chosen. The way is narrow, and the gate is straight. Oh, for grace to come to Jesus aright, with the faith of God's elect! He who smote Uzzah for touching the ark is very jealous of his two ordinances. As a true believer, I may approach them freely. As an alien, I must not touch them, lest I die. Heart-searching is the duty of all who are baptized or come to the Lord's table. Search me, O God, and know my way. Try me, and know my heart.
Where once I burned.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Curse of the Law. The text is Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The law exposes sin for what it really is. It is only when a person sees the full implications of God's law that he will understand the seriousness of sin and the awful fate that awaits those who die unrepentant. Then the law condemns the sinners for their sin, for all who fail to render complete and perfect obedience are under God's curse. Furthermore, the law condemns sinners for seeking salvation by partial obedience, trying somehow to put God under obligation to them. The Scripture states that the law of God commends and accepts perfect obedience. Yet, who can say that he or she has perfectly obeyed God's law? Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called The Curse of the Law.
Listen to Romans 7, verse 23. Paul says, I see another law in my members. Underline the word, law in my members. warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now what is that law? I pointed out in a former study that you've got to be careful studying the subject of the law in Scripture, because the word law is used in many, many different ways, even in the same context. What is this law of sin in the members? It is a principle of wickedness, a principle of evil that rules like a monarch in the soul and impels that man to rebellion against God. It sounds very good, and it is very popular to believe that sin is merely something negative. I remember in what we called a divinity class in our school back in Belfast, we had to study a book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I am not at all advocating C.S. Lewis as a trustworthy theologian. I'm simply saying we had to study it. And one of the great ideas that he was pushing is that sin is a mere negation. It is something always negative. There's a sense in which I can go along with that if by negative you mean a rebellion against God. But sin, my friend, is not merely negative. Sin is a very active, positive, self-seeking, self-serving, God-hating, Christ-dishonoring principle. It sets itself up in the throne of the soul. It reigns as an absolute monarch. It has more power over the soul than any Caesar ever had over the empire. So deep is this principle of evil in the soul of man that everything a man does is corrupted and depraved. Does he read his Bible? He brings to that Bible reading a heart of corruption, filth, and arrogant rebellion against God. Does he bow his knees to pray? Even as he bows his knees, his heart rises up in rebellion against God. Does he touch anything? He sullies it with the filth of his touch. That's something of the biblical truth of the total depravity of the soul of man. Because sin is not just what man does. Sin is the monarch man serves. Sin is this inherent principle. So evil is it that it even makes God's holy law an occasion for sin. It does this in many ways. For instance, it decries all divine authority. It is sin which rises up within your breast and says, what right has God to ruin my fun? What right has the church to come preaching as this preacher preaches, to try to put the brakes in my own life and my own ideas? I'm hurting nobody. I want to do my thing. What is that? That is this evil monarch of sin rising up and decrying the very right of your Creator to be your lawgiver. Then, of course, it works very, very subtly by taking the very thing that the law prohibits and making it desirable. Paul deals with this at some length in Romans 7, that when the law says, thou shalt not, this monarch of sin so twists and turns that he takes that forbidden thing, as Satan did the forbidden fruit, and makes it the most desirable thing in the world, so that the very law of God is perverted by inherent sin as an occasion, an opportunity to drive you deeper into rebellion against God. Now, put all that together, and what have you got? You've got a terrible picture. Governing his soul, man has in him a law of rebellion. And then in the book of the law, God has written his law of retribution. That's why I said the statement of our text is a very serious one for sinners. There's a law within every man, a law of sin. And then there is that law of God written by the finger of God that calls forth doom and damnation on that sin. That's why Paul calls God's law the law of sin and death. The law of death. What is God's law for the sinner? It's a law of death. He wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3, and he said, "The letter killeth." Again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I do need to say that there are so many superficial preachers running around telling you that Paul means that strict compliance with the Scripture is a deadly thing, and really you should come and have a very loose compliance. That's not what he's talking about. When he says, "The letter killeth," in context he's saying, the law. That's the letter of the law he's talking about. The law killeth. He calls it the ministration of death. He calls it the ministration of condemnation. It is a law of death. As he wrote to the Romans, the wages of sin is death. That death is real. I want you to understand that. This is the curse of God's law. That death is real. That death is personal. That death is total, physical, spiritual, and then eternal. Remember those terrible words of Revelation 20, when John in vision saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books were opened. Men on earth may shut the book of God's law and live their lives in total defiance of that law. But hear me well, my friend. There's going to come a day when God will open the book and no man will shut it. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. He describes how the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell, or death and the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what? The second death. This is the law of death executing its curse. The law exposes sin for what it is. The law condemns sinners for their sin, never fall for the devil's lie that because God is a God of love, he will abrogate his law and he will never condemn sinners. The law condemns sinners for their sin. But I need to point out a third thing in dealing with the curse of the law, that the law condemns sinners for seeking salvation by partial obedience to it. You see, as I pointed out at the beginning, there's something that comes very natural to every man, and that is to do something. To do something, to put God under obligation to him and earn his way to heaven. Men talk glibly about keeping the Ten Commandments, living by the Ten Commandments, or living by the Sermon on the Mount, or living by the example of Jesus, or doing something or other. What they're talking about is rendering at best a partial obedience to God's law. I could prove from Scripture that a partial obedience to God's law is a total disobedience to God's law. I want you to understand that. Partial obedience to the law of God is in reality total disobedience to God's law. And that's why the law of God condemns men for trying to be saved by partially obeying the law. We read tonight in Galatians 3:11 that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8 verse 3. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now let's stop there. What the law could not do. The Greek text actually, it says the impossibility of the law, or the inability of the law, or you might translate it the powerlessness of the law. What is it that it's impossible for the law to do? What is it that the law has absolutely no power to perform? Well, Paul tells you here in Romans chapter 8. And it is to set sinners free from condemnation. You can say, I'm going to try to obey God's law. You'll not free yourself from condemnation that way. Can't do it. Because remember what I said. Every partial obedience is a total disobedience. So that even your attempts to save yourself by the law end up damning yourself more and more comprehensively as a lawbreaker. The law can only do one thing to a sinner. Only one thing. That is, condemn him. The law can do absolutely nothing else. It is powerless to do anything for a sinner but expose his sin and condemn his soul. If that were all the Bible had to say about the curse of the law, we would live in a sad, sad world indeed. I want you to stop there. The curse of the law is something real. It is something terrible. It is something truly awful. The curse of the law. The very words should chill your heart. They reveal the face of a frowning deity, of an offended God, a wrathful judge. The curse of God's law.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.